Mike announced before that I'm going to be speaking about the topic of balancing intensity with normalcy. I don't generally spend my time checking up on YU Torah, how many people have listened to any one of my shiurim. Sometimes I'm just checking my shiurim, let's say for this one particularly, because I already gave a topic, and some of you might know that I give something every week called Hashkafah Shmuz. So usually Hashkafah Shmuz, so sometimes I might want to refer to something that I said, so I'll go on YU Torah and listen to what I said, because I want to remember what I said. So I noticed that usually the amount of people that listen to one of my shmuz is maybe, I don't know, 50 people, maybe 100 people, sometimes 150 people. Maybe the one on Shmiras Einayim was 200, 250 people. Okay, that was big, 250. So just in preparing for this, someone asked me to speak about this, about balancing intensity and normalcy. Guess how many people have listened to that shiur? 950 people. Now, to me, I want to be clear. That's not because anyone thinks that I have anything constructive to say on that topic or anything worth listening to. Because when you click on something, it doesn't necessarily mean that you know what the guy is going to say or that it's going to have any meaning to you. That's not what I'm trying to bring out of that. What I'm trying to bring out of that is that this is obviously a topic that is very, very primary on a lot of people's minds. So first of all, just by a show of hands, how many people heard what I already have to say on YU Torah about this topic? Four or five people. So we're going to try to, for the sake of those people, we're going to try to make 90% of this new stuff, not stuff that was already on the... That's the way I was assuming. I mean, most of you didn't hear it. So if you want more on this topic, which clearly people want, go listen to the 25 minutes on YU Torah. What did he say?
They make it to
1,000
tomorrow.
Okay. One of the fantastic customs that really only has been around for the last 40, 45, 50 years is the custom that American high school students, after high school, make their way to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year, or two, or more. This was not the custom that, generally speaking, used to happen. And it's been an unbelievable, it's caused an incredible ma'apecha, a complete turnaround for American Jewry. And I have to say that almost all of what I'm going to speak about, and it's a little difficult because there's some people here who haven't yet been to Eretz Yisrael, so they don't know what I'm talking about. And there's some people who came back after Shana Aleph, Shana Bet. It's a whole, everybody at their own stage has different, so we'll try to make it a davar shavu l'chol nefesh. But generally speaking, Eretz Yisrael, we just read this past Shabbos. Eretz asher eini Hashem elokecha ba tamid meireishis hashana v'arachas hashana. Eretz Yisrael has succeeded in inspiring the NCSY Kolel. Let's not put that down. NCSY Kolel, the year of learning in Eretz Yisrael, obviously different, but has succeeded in really transforming modern Orthodox Jewry in the United States. And almost all of that is incredibly positive thing. So many people develop passion, develop excitement for Yiddishkeit, for learning, for frat, in Eretz Yisrael. And I like to say, I'm still living off the chizuk and the inspiration that I got during my years of learning in Eretz Yisrael. And again, most of my remarks are going to be directed only because this is the reality that I have something to say about that I know about. A person can go to Eretz Yisrael and end up staying in Eretz Yisrael forever. Ma tov u'manayim. A person makes aliyah. Ma tov u'manayim. That's fantastic. My remarks are going to be mostly addressing people who, bavanoseinu harabim, after learning in Eretz Yisrael, come back to the United States. Because that's really when the challenge of balancing the intensity, of balancing the hasmada, the excitement for performance of mitzvos, the excitement for limud haTorah, the excitement for tefillah, the excitement for being a Jew, that so many people feel so close in Eretz Yisrael and have difficulty figuring out how to implement that into life in Chutz La'aretz, life that balances going to college, life that balances having a family, life that balances having a job. How does one stay inspired? How does one balance the feelings of the she'ifos, the desire and the drives for aliyah ruchnis, for spiritual growth, for aliyah, with regular life, with being a regular person? So I'd like to present four suggestions of what a person, what can help a person. Some of these suggestions are obvious and are things that I like to talk about very frequently. But we'll start just again. We just came out of Parshas Ekev. Va'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem lokecha sholmei machkim liyiro, so aleches b'chol aracha v'le'avo, so la'avdo b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, lishmos kol mitzvos Hashem lokecha. So the Gemara in Masech the Brachos, other places, Shabbos, asks v'chi yira milsezut, just say, v'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem lokecha sholmei mach, the way the Torah presents yira shemayim, what Moshe Rabbeinu is presenting it, is Yirah Shemayim such a small thing? So the Gemara answers in Legave Moshe Milsa Zutrusi. Yes, for Moshe Rabbeinu, Yirah Shemayim, to be an Oved Hashem, to have Yirah Shemayim, to walk around all the time feeling the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam on top of you at all times, yes, is Taka Milsa Zutrusi Legave Moshe. So everybody asks. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu was giving over the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So he shouldn't have written the Torah in a way that makes Klal Yisrael really very, very difficult to achieve. So if you look in the Kli Yakar, there are many, 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 many answers to this question. By the way, last year I gave a whole year, Pasha Shiram, on the Kli Yakar. When you're looking for chizik from the Pasha, inspiration from the Pasha, the Kli Yakar is mamish oyom v'nora meiridik, the Kli Yakar is. I never really appreciated the Kli Yakar to the depth that I did last year. Mamish, every week I went through all the Kli Yakar and the Parsha. Mamish, incredible drushes. Anyway, says the Kli Yakar, and many others say this as well. What does it mean, Legabe Moshe Milsa Zuchasi? It means any person, any Jew who was inspired by Moshe, who interacted with Moshe, who was able to hear from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was influenced by Moshe, for him, Yirah Shemayim was Taka Milsa Zuchasi. For him, Yirah Shemayim was an attainable goal. My first recommendation in terms of knowing how to balance intensity and normalcy is every person has to have a Rebbe. You have to have somebody who you can speak to help you figure out how to balance these things. I am zoche in my lifetime to have Rabbeim that I'm very, very close with, and I can tell you that still to this day, every major decision in my life, I run past my Rebbe, and even many of the not-so-major decisions. And for a person to keep himself connected to Gedolei Torah, to people who themselves, you think, have figured out to a way of how to balance that incredible she'ifa for godless and passion and spirit for growth in Yiddishkeit every minute of every day, but who also understand life, and who also understand life's challenges. You know that the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, Maseches Chulin, Maseches Beitzah, Maseches Shabbos, the Gemara in a few places says that Rav Safra used to refer to a Talmud Chacham as Moshe. The Gemara says, Rav Safra used to say, Moshe Shaper Kamras. When he would hear a Talmud Chacham say a very nice piece of Torah, he would say, Moshe Shaper Ka'amas. He called everybody Moshe. And Rashi says, Moshe means Talmud Chacham. That, and many explain that every Talmud Chacham has certain elements of Moshe Rabbeinu for us. A person has to attach himself to Talmidei Chachamim, to Tzadikim, to people who have mastered this balance. And this is certainly a very, very important part of knowing how to balance. To get etza from someone who is already has, who you feel is enthused. And again, I say that specifically because particularly when a person finds himself in America, So there, the tendency is much more towards balance and making compromises, and it's always Torah and something else, generally speaking. Rabbi Lichtenstein once said, you know, it's going to be Torah with secular studies in college. Then it's going to be Torah and secular studies and dating. It's already a triple program. Then it's going to be a quadruple program. You have Torah and your job and your family and children, and so many things that require balance. So clearly, a Rebbe is very, very important. The Drosh HaSaran has a different pshat on the Pasuk. It's what I spoke about a little bit this week in some of the Shiurim. The Drosh HaSaran talks about Lagabi Moshe Milsa Zuchasahi. The interesting thing about Yerushalayim is it seems like such a difficult thing to attain until you attain it. Lagabi Moshe Rabbeinu Milsa Zuchasahi means that Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in conquering his Yetzirah. We believe Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Elami Shosek Batora Elokai Neshama Shenasatabi Tahorahi. We don't realize that our neshama, all of us, are programmed towards this Yira Shamayim. That's really who we naturally really are. And Moshe Rabbeinu is someone who was able to conquer it. So Legabi Moshe, so what do you mean, how does that do with us? The truth is, for us, it's also something that's not so difficult. But it seems to us, when you're on the outside looking in, it seems that Yira Shamayim is such a difficult thing to achieve. But someone who Taka already has achieved it, or whatever Madrega a person achieves, then it actually becomes something that's Milsa Zutrasahi. We're just so affected by our Yitzhahara, so affected by things outside of us, so affected by society, so affected by culture, that we don't see that that's really who we are. It's a beautiful essay of Soloveitchik has in the Haggadah. Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. It was a whole drusha just on those words. Avadim hayinu leparo. We're not avdei paro, we're avadim leparo, because a Jew by definition can't be avdei paro. We're avdei Hashem, but sometimes we get deflected. Avadim leparo v'yotzeinu Hashem. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to take us out, because freedom for a Jew is only to be an avid Hashem. Freedom for a Jew, real freedom, means to not be bound by the shackles of Yetzirah. We have to know that internally, this is who we are. This is what we're always striving for. We're always striving naturally for growth, for development. However, to be extreme, to be too extreme, to get too caught up in this drive, to the extent that it takes a person away from balance, from having a certain balance in his life, that's when even she'ifa ruchnius, even well-intentioned and well-meaning religious growth can actually cause a person downfall. The tradition from my Rebbe that I have is that sometimes people take upon themselves in a desire for she'ifa, they take upon themselves chumras, they take upon themselves things that aren't part of the halacha, and especially when you come back to America and the world is not like that, so that's already dangerous. Right, in the political science classes they say radical extremes breed their counter-radical extremes. That when a person tries too much to be too intense and too many things, so that's when the beginning of the downfall happens. So number one is a Rebbe. Number two, very, very, very important, is how does a person negotiate this? Very, very important to have Seder. Shmiras HaSedarim. Seder is a very, very important thing for a Ben Torah to always have. A person knows every day he has minyan three times a day. A person knows he has certain siddurim that he has to make sure to keep to those siddurim very, very carefully and very, very sharply. A person can become a tremendous Talmud Chacham through keeping the siddurim that he has and taking each word that he has, every line that he learns of every Seder, taking those lines seriously. And the time that's dedicated for Seder time, that has to be kept to very, very rigorously. Talmud Torah Bechlal. Talmud Torah, of course, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. If you're on this program, that means to a degree you've already begun to fall in love with Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah is something that can help a person negotiate this balance very, very well, as long as he keeps to his Siddurim. The Seder has to be Kodesh Kadashim. If a person's back in college, or he is wherever he is, and he has to balance, so he has to know that Seder has to be Kodesh Kadashim. During lunch, you're supposed to talk to people, you're supposed to eat, you're supposed to relax, you're supposed to interact with people. You know, when you're on the way from here, there, you're in between classes, but during Seder time, again, that doesn't mean that during Seder time you can't smile at somebody, you can't say hello, you're passing by somebody, again, you have to interact with people, you have to be normal. But the Seder time, you have to really make sure to keep to the Siddurim. And even after a person in college, and even after you end up to the dating time, and then even to the marriage time, and the work time, when you're going to go have a job, you can have a parnasa, but that Iker time of Seder, the Seder time that a person sets aside for himself, that can help him maintain that balance. And I can tell you that, you know, I learn every morning with a balabas who learns probably 3 hours a day, and early in the morning, from like 5 in the morning till 8, and then first he starts davening, and then his business, he works very late, but this person's one of the most inspired about Yiddishkeit people in terms of his own desire for growth that I know. I had this chus for many years. Unfortunately, last week, I just, Rabbi Gordon's father's Levaya, so whenever I'm in that cemetery, I always go visit my four grandparents who are buried 10 feet away from each other. And I also always go to the kever of a very, very dear friend of mine. And whenever I talk about this kind of balance, certainly I aim my shmooze on how important it is to work for a living and to have a parnasa. We'll talk about that. You know, you could take a look at that. But in terms of balancing this, so this chavrus of mine was really my role model. Unfortunately, he passed away tragically at a very, very young age. His name was Mike Selesny. And Shalom Moshe, good friend of mine, chavrus of mine, we lived in Pasay together. This guy, Mike Selesny, used to daven b'minyan 3 times a day without saying. Very, very successful businessman all day long. Was at business, was at work. He would come back at around 7 to 8 he would spend with his family. It was family time. We had a chavrusa 8 to 11 every night. We would learn in the Beis Medrash in Passaic 8 to 11, Rabbi Sachs' shul, 8 to 11 every night. And he was so medactic on that Seder. He would never come even a minute later. I remember Erev Yom Kippur was saying to me, Lazaka, he's a very, very tall guy. He comes over to me. He's towering over me. His tears are pouring down his face. And he says, I have to ask you for mechila if any time in the middle of the Seder, maybe I spoke about something or I came late. I was like shaking because, I mean, I was in yeshiva. I was a Rebbe all day long, so I would roll into the Seder a few minutes late, a little bit. He was always there, 8 o'clock. This is Shemiras Hasdarim. This is how one balances. The time for learning is the time for learning. And the time for doing other things is time for doing other things. And again, a person shouldn't feel so intense about it. You don't have to feel so hyper about it, so crazy. Just a person should live his life as beseder in a particular organized way. And again, it's obviously easier said than done. But if you have the right seder, then that goes a long way to help you balance these things. I want to read you something. If you know, again, I had originally been told it was 45 minutes. I had to cut it down, so it's always a question, what do you cut down when you prepare everything? But this I can't cut out. So some of you know, you all heard about the Mesilas Yesharim. The Mesilas Yesharim is a sefer that probably had the biggest impact on my own life, my own religious growth. And the truth is, you don't have to hear anything from me about balancing intensity and normalcy. It's all in the Mesilas Yesharim. But I want to read you what nobody ever gets to in the Mesilas Yesharim. I want to read you the last paragraph of Mesilas Yesharim. You know, when somebody writes a book, the last paragraph is what he really wants you to leave with. So everybody knows about the Mesilas Yesharim. He talks about all the madrigas. The Vilna Gaon was reported to have said there's not one extra word in the first 11 chapters of Mesilas Yesharim. And then after the 11 chapters, he gets into the very, very deep and high, high, high levels, which again, that's kol achad l'fi madrigaso, that's a different shmooze. But look at the very, very last paragraph. V'zeh pashut. Ki chal adam l'fi ha'umanus asher biyado, v'ayis asher ose, kach tzarech lo ha'ishar v'adracha. Ki derech ha'chasidus haroi l'mi she'toraso umnaso. The appropriate chasidus for someone who's tarasim naso eino derech chasidus haroy lemishetzarich lahaskir atzel lemleches chaveru is not the same chasidus, is not the same path to chasidus for someone who has to work for a different boss. Velo zev zed derech chasidus haroy lemishok osik bischaraso, and these two things are not the same way for somebody who has his own business. V'chein kol shar partem shar biski adam olamo kol echad vechlik mashehu ruuyim lo darkei chasidus. Everyone, whether you're Torah, someone else, or you're Zochet, to be learning all day long, or you're somebody who works for a boss, or you're somebody who has his own business, everyone, kol echad v'echlev mashruim lodach chasidus, lo l'fisha chasidus mishtane. Not because the definition of what a chasid, and when he's referring to a chasid, it means a yirei shamayim and eved Hashem. Not because being a chasid changes. Ki heinu hu shavel chol nefesh vaday. Being a chassid, says the Mesillas Yesharim, is the same for everybody. Because what's being a chassid? Holva inenu el lasus mashi ishnachas ruach liot zrobo. Aval holva no simishtanim. Since a guy who's Torah so menaso versus a guy who works for a living, for somebody else, versus a guy who has his own business, everybody's in a different situation. It's impossible that the derech to get to being a chassid is a different derech for a guy who's Torah so menaso, a guy who's working. Kol echad lefin yano. Ukvar yachal lios chasid gamur ish shemipnei tzarka ubal malacha p'chusa kemo mi asher lo yifsok mi piv alimud. Listen to this line from Mesillas Yesharim. A person who's a garbage man can be the same level chasid as a person who's a Rosh Hashiva. Kach katub mi Mesillas Yesharim. I didn't change one word. I want to read it again. Ukvar yachal lios chasid gamur ish shemipnei tzarko hu ba malacha p'chusa kemo mi asher lo yifsek mi piv alimud. Unbelievable line, the last line in the Mesillas Yesharim that nobody ever gets to. He says you could be the exact same complete chassid, someone who because of need has to take a job as a garbage collector, like the same thing as a person who learns all day long. Uksiv kol polish on amnei avon b'chol d'rachecha da'eu. So, I heard from Rav Ram Shor that the Chazon Ish was very proud of himself. The Chazon Ish wrote six massive fat svarim. The Chazon Ish was proud of himself that in davening he never once was maharer any chiddush that was in his sefer. In the middle of tefillah he was never once maharer. You never have to learn during Chazaras Hashatz to figure it out. Everything kafi sidro. When you're davening, you're davening. When you're learning, you're learning. When you're going to college, you're going to college. When you're working, you're working. When you're on a date, you're on a date. It shouldn't. There has to be Seder. If you have Seder, that will help you have balance. If you set out Siddharm for yourself, if a Seder really means a Seder means if the Seder starts at 9 o'clock, it starts at 9 o'clock, not at 9.05, not at 9.07. If davening starts at 8 o'clock, davening starts at 8 o'clock. Not at 8.05, not at 8.10. That's Seder. That's not intensity. That's being normal. That's a Seder. The third thing, we only have 5 minutes left. The truth is that the halacha, the fact that we have psak halacha, the halacha helps a person negotiate between what's too intense, what's normal. The halacha helps a person. And I think that people should be careful about running to accept upon themselves things that are michutz le, what's the piske halacha, before they've worked on some things that are basic. I'll just give something, just one example. What I really should have done is just taking questions and answers. Maybe, again, privately, I'm still around for another 2 weeks. We can people can ask the questions privately, but in general, in terms of religious growth, I'm very, very into people accepting upon themselves certain small little things, small kabbalas that are doable. The truth is that at least once a year, I try to look at one thing in my avoda that I think is, usually it's around Elul time, usually. Used to be a rabbi, a very, very special, pure, sweet rabbi. Used to speak on Etzis Vaikol every year. And when he would speak, it was just so sweet. I used to, his name was Rabbi Dinowitzer from Baltimore. When he would speak, it was so pure, so it was Dvar Mayotzim Alev. That's when I used to be mekabel upon myself. When he would speak Shalashos, that's when I was used to be mekabel upon myself to make sure one thing every year. So like, you know, I don't know, to me it just seems like certain things that people accept upon themselves, you know, it would be better to accept upon yourself, you know, not to talk during Kaddish or something. You know, 1 year, maybe like 10 years ago or something, maybe it was 15 years ago already. So 1 year I accepted upon myself, I'm never come anything, I don't care what happens, I'm never going to say a word during Kaddish. The Kachav, you don't realize that small little things, the reason why Kabbalahs are really great is because, first of all, you have a small little thing, you know it's yours. You know it's yours, you take upon yourself something that you know you can do, it's got to be something doable, and you know it's yours, and that can sometimes help you do a lot of other things well. Because when you feel like, hey, I improved in something, it's a mitzvah gereres mitzvah, kipshuto, mitzvah gereres mitzvah, when you're ola on one darga, it all of a sudden makes it easier. That's what we spoke about before, legabe moshe milsa zitrasi, when you take a Kabbalah. But, so you have to know the halacha. The more you learn, so you know what the halachas are, and there's areas that we're all not performing. Basic halachas. I was just talking to Rabbi Salosky before, how many people walk out of the Beis Medrash with a slushy and don't make a new bracha. So Rabbi Savolovsky said, you know, maybe Yesha, how many people think that there are more than 70 or 80 or 100? Okay, we don't have to do that. People on the Kola who do that all the time. You're carrying a slushy, you walk outside, and you don't make a new bracha. So if you learn the sugya, it happens to be, unfortunately, I'm learning the sugya right now in Arvi Pesachim about Shinui Makom. So for the Mezonos, generally speaking, if you ate a kezayis inside, you go outside, you don't have to make a new bracha by Mezonos. But Shahakol, and for something that's a shahakol, so the halachos of Shini Makom say that if you go outside, you make a new bracha. So you have to know, so he said, maybe Yesha Milismach, the gum, I think Ramosha has a Jew, by gum, you don't have to make a new bracha because it's made for going on the way. So you could say, if you're holding the slushy in your hand, so it's made for going on the way, maybe it's a libet schus that those people don't. But you'll ask him, I'm not a post-it, you have to ask him. But the halacha is wide enough. The halacha teaches a person what's the basic din and what's above and beyond. So you have to know the difference when it comes to accepting upon ourselves more things. I'm very into the Kabbalah, but the halacha, knowing halacha, and it's very important to know the difference. So many people take upon themselves so many things that are not halacha, they're not even minah, but they're chumras. Again, some of those things are good because they, you know, they give you the impression that you're growing. But I think it's better that a person should take it. There's so many things within the halacha that nobody does, to take upon ourselves to do the basics. To do the basics. And again, you can't do everything at the same time. That's why I say, at the very least, once a year, one of the mashgiach of Neri Yisroel, Rav Eisenman, once said that's what Kabbalah al-Asid means. When we say that, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rambam says you have to Kabbalah al-Asid. That I'm hereby never going to do this again, right? We're coming up on Elul. Shelo yoshev l'chein hazeod, right? You have to be Kabbalah al-Asid. So everybody asks, what do you mean? It's a joke. You can say, I'm never going to do this again. So Eisman said a beautiful pshat. He said, no, it means like this. If last year I spoke 10,000 hours worth of Lashon Hara, so next year I'm being Makabal, it's not going to be 10,000, it's going to be 9,500. 9,500, that's what it means. Shelo yoshev l'chein hazeod, meaning the sum total, the Lashon Hara of Tavshanayim Gimel is not going to be the Lashon Hara of Tavshanayim Dal. That's Takasam you could accept upon yourself. Because Kabbalahs are important, but within the Halacha, let's stick to those things at first. Again, after we finished and we keep all the 613 mitzvahs, so then you can go weiter. But I think if a person focuses on the Halacha, and just finally, the last thing, again, we have to cut out a lot here, but the last thing is Chevra. Chevra is very, very important to helping a person maintain balance. You have to have the right chevra, of course. You have to choose those people who themselves are looking for growth, are looking for development. And certainly, when a person chooses a wife, but that was the other shmooze, not getting into that. So it has to be somebody who's going to promote your own. That's the biggest hashpa that a person has in terms of making these decisions. The biggest decision, the biggest hashpa is to make sure you choose to spend the rest of your life with somebody who's going to push you to be someone who's going to continue to grow and continue to develop. That's the most important criteria, l'dati. But to have a chevra, certainly before that time, to have a chevra of people who are also, and to hang out with people. But the chevra is good because it helps you maintain balance. My Kabbalah from my rabbi, any time a person starts doing his own thing, and he doesn't have any chevra, he's too frum for the whole chevra. Because the whole chevra bring, you know, he's too frum to hang out with anybody. He's too intense, he's being mekabel upon himself, new chumras, and he's closeting himself away from people, and that's not good. That's not a good thing. Right? Of course, it's true. The Rambam writes, Derech priyasa shel adam lios nimshach v'deyosav achar anshi makomo. There's no question that that has a big hashpa, but that a person should be part of a chevra, because the chevra will help keep him in balance. So many stories about this, but just as a mashal, right? When a person's swimming in the ocean, as long as you can still see the dry land, so you know where you are. The second you're out in the middle and you can't see dry land anywhere, you're completely lost. And I've unfortunately seen many people who start swimming on their own and thinking that they're going to be, they're just, you know, getting higher and higher and higher, and then they fall away, they fall off the deep end, they fall away from a sense of chevra. It's important that a person sees himself as part of Klal Yisrael, part of the community. So just to summarize very briefly, some of the eitzos that I think, again, this is really part two of a shmuz that you should, if you're interested in this topic, you should listen to part one where I really spoke about the yisodos hadavar. But part two, the things I think that can help a person balance. Especially in America, we tend to, right, you don't, Rav Blachman likes to say that Rav Huttner told him, don't be a shoten, don't be a benoni. Don't be a benoni. In America, sometimes you can make compromise and everything, you end up being a benoni, you don't have passion for anything. That's terrible. That's terrible. A Jew is supposed to live a lifetime every minute thinking, how can I grow more? How can I be inspired more? How can my davening be better? How can my learning be more? How can I learn more? How can I find more time to learn? Of course you're supposed to have that passion. But you still have to be normal. You have to make a parnasa. You have to talk to people. You have to get along with people. You have to be a mensch. You have to know how to speak to people. These are important. What can help us in this balance? Help us is to have a Rebbe who we can talk to, who can help us balance that. Seder is crucially important. The halacha, of course, tells us when to balance. When are we supposed to do X? When are we supposed to do Y? Which Kabbalah should we be taking upon ourselves before others? And finally, having a strong chevra of people who are committed like we are, hopefully can help us to that. And hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, one day soon, we're not going to have to make any more compromises. Will Be'ez Hashem be able to all be in this Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elokecha, Doresh HaSatan, Meresh HaShana, Barach HaShana, may that day come quickly. From here of Yameinu Amen.